Welcome to day 297 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and I'm happy that you're with me again today. We are reading this week in the New American Standard Bible. Today's reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapters 9 and 10. We're going to hear about the healing of a man that was born blind, one of the most outstanding miracles in the Gospels. And we're going to hear other parables, so beautiful, from the lips of Jesus, the parable of the Good Shepherd. And it will be such a beautiful one to hear. And of course, we're going to hear of the persecution that the religious Jews perpetrated against Jesus in an attempt to stop him from claiming that he was the Son of God. So we have some very interesting chapters here today, and I believe that you will receive much blessing from them. So we're going to begin at John chapter 9, starting at verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated sent. So he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, "Is not this the one who used to sit and beg?" Others were saying, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the one." So they were saying to him, "How then were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man who is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went away and washed, and I received sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also were asking him again how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore, some of the Pharisees were saying, "This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others were saying, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes?" And he said, "He is a prophet." The Jews then did not believe it of him, that he had been blind and had received sight, until they called the parents of the very one who had received his sight and questioned them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? Then how does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone confessed him to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He then answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you?" They reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Well, here is an amazing thing, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us?" So they put him out. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and he is the one who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, that those who see may become blind." Those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these things and said to him, "We are not blind too, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." Chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and he's not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." A division occurred among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the sayings of one demon possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of the blind, can he?" At that time, the feast of the dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father." Therefore, they were seeking again to seize him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again, beyond the Jordan, to the place where John was first baptizing, and he was staying there. Many came to him and were saying, "While John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true." Many believed in him there. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's devotional, I want to focus on a very simple truth that Jesus spoke in John chapter 10, verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." This is a precious and present day truth that God's people, his own sheep, can hear the voice of God. Now, you may be a person that has perhaps never believed that you have ever heard God speak. Perhaps you've never felt prompted by God to do anything or say anything. And maybe you've even been taught in the church that you attend or did attend at some point that God doesn't speak to people today, that we have the Bible and that's God's message to mankind and that's as far as it goes. But the truth of the Bible hasn't changed. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." The people who are God's people, those who love Jesus, who believe he is the Son of God, who've accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior, those people hear the voice of God. Now, many people, perhaps young Christians, and even some who've been walking with God a long time, maybe they've never developed the inner listening or that hearing ear of the Spirit that assists you in discerning when God is speaking to you. And I'm hoping today to assist you a little bit in that area and remove any hindrances to hearing the voice of God. Jesus plainly stated in John 10:27, as we heard today, and actually he repeated it several times in the 10th chapter of John's Gospel, "My sheep hear my voice." And this is a foundational truth that needs to be embraced by those who are God's people, his sheep. Without hearing the voice of God, without being led by God, you are just wandering without proper guidance. You can read from the Word of God and obtain guidance. That is true, and I will not discount that in any possible way. But there is this beautiful promise that God enables his people to hear his voice, to be led by him in their life while on the earth. And this is something for my personal life that is so precious, that it is above all things so dear to my heart, that the Word of God tells us that we can be led of God. We can be led by the Spirit of God. We can hear the voice of God. We can go to God for counsel and receive that counsel. But it will always agree with Scripture, always. There's no counsel that God will ever speak, no direction that God will ever give, no leading that the Holy Spirit will ever influence a person in any particular direction that does not agree with the written Word of God in the Bible. And that gives us a foundation upon which we can verify the discernment that we believe we have of being led by God. Now, it takes time to develop that hearing ear and that walk with God where you can be led of the Spirit and hear the voice of God. It takes time. It takes practice, if you will, of testing what you believe you hear against what the Word of God actually says in the Bible. So it takes time to discern this and to grow in this area. But I believe that in a sense, there are so many people in the body of Christ who have believed a lie. And that is one of the hindrances to hearing the voice of God, believing a lie. One of the lies that Satan himself tells people is that God doesn't speak to people today. That's one lie. The second one is God doesn't speak to you personally, you. A third lie that people often believe is that God only speaks to people with a special gift, such as prophets or pastors or some anointed minister. And the fourth lie that many, many Christians have believed, that if God does try to speak to me, I can't hear him. Or I can't discern that it was God and not myself. And that is a lie as well. We have to take the truth of God's word, which is presented today in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and apply that truth and stand against any lie that you may have embraced, whether you realized you were embracing it or not. Many people agree with lies without realizing they have done so. I like to say they've made agreements with lies or the devil's preaching, if you'll allow that, unknowingly. They didn't even realize they were doing it. They just thought it was the truth. So they agreed with it. And what they had really done was come into agreement with a lie. And Jesus, we heard him in yesterday's reading, that he called Satan the father of lies, and that's all he does is lie. And so we don't ever want to be in agreement with the father of lies. We want to always be in agreement with the Word of God, with God himself. And that is a key for our successful Christian life, is that we are always watchful and careful to make sure that what we are believing is based on the Word of God and not some other man's thoughts or the devil's suggestions. Today we also heard a very profound and important foundational truth of the Word of God, and that is Jesus gave in John 10:10 essentially what I like to call his mission statement and Satan's mission statement. He said very plainly, the thief comes only has one purpose. He has one purpose. He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's a powerful statement. The thief comes only. One reason, steal and kill and destroy. And then, so that was Satan's mission statement. That's his purpose in existence at this time. And then Jesus states his mission statement, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So if we stick with Jesus and that abundant life, then we'll always be standing in agreement with the Word of God and what God has to say. But Satan is always interested in sowing lies into people's minds if he's able to. And when people come into agreement with those lies, knowingly or unknowingly, then they are hindered from whatever truth it is that God was trying to get to them and trying to have operational in their lives. And the truth is that my sheep hear my voice. The truth is Jesus said this, that God's people can hear the voice of God. And that is a key scriptural and foundational Christian truth, that we can hear the voice of God, that we can be led by the voice of God, that we can be prompted by the Spirit of God, that we can be a person that is sensitive to God's moving and God's desires and obey those desires. A very precious story that I heard, and it's a testimony actually, that I love so much, had to do with a young person who had been attending a Wednesday night Bible study. During that particular Bible study, his pastor had shared about this very subject of hearing the voice of God, listening for God's voice, and then obeying God's voice when he directed you to do something. And so after the Bible study that evening, the young people got together and went out for coffee and pie and talked about the message, and several different ones among that group gave testimonies about how God had led them in different ways. And so it was a subject that was really on this young man's heart. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and this young man started driving home by himself. He was sitting in his car. He started praying, God, if you still speak to people, speak to me. I will listen and I will do my best to obey. Very simple prayer. He did it by faith, and he started just driving down the main street of his little town. And while he did that, he had this sudden, very strong thought to stop and buy a gallon of milk. And he just shook his head, and he literally said out loud, God, is that you? He didn't get a reply, and he started on home again. But again, he kept having this strong impression that he was to go and buy a gallon of milk. And so while he was thinking about this, he suddenly remembered the story of young Samuel, the little boy who grew up to be a great prophet, and how he didn't recognize the voice of God at first, and how he ran to Eli the priest, and finally Eli said, when you hear that voice again, say, yes, Lord, I'm listening. And he began to learn how to hear God's voice through that particular incident. So this young man, as he's thinking all these thoughts, he finally just said, okay, God, just in case it is you, I'm going to go buy the milk. And so he did it. And he felt like it wasn't a real hard test of obedience in case it was God, and he could always use the milk. So he stopped and he went into a little store and he bought a gallon of milk, and he started toward home again in his car. And when he passed a certain street, he had this strong urge to turn down that street. And it was much like the milk scenario where he felt so impressed. So he thought, okay, this is crazy, but I'm just going to continue on. He passed the street, went through the intersection, but again, he kept feeling like he should turn down that particular street. So at the next intersection, he turned around, drove back, and sort of half jokingly said out loud to the Lord, okay, God, I will. He turned his car around, drove back, and started driving down that particular street. After driving for several blocks, he suddenly had this very strong impression that he should just stop and pull over. So he pulled over to the curb and he looked around. He was in a semi-commercial area of town. It wasn't the best of neighborhoods. It wasn't the worst. Businesses were closed. Most of the houses looked dark, like people were already in bed. It's now past 10 o'clock at night. Again, he sensed something. And he felt this strong impression, go and give the milk to the people in the house across the street. So the young man looked at the house. It was dark and it looked like no one was there, or perhaps they'd already gone to bed. So he started to get out of the car, but then he just sat back down in the car seat and he just said, Lord, this is insane. Those people are asleep. If I wake them up, they're going to get mad at me. I'm going to look stupid. But God didn't answer, but he kept feeling this very strong urge that he should go and give them the milk. finally got out of the car saying, Lord, if this is you, I'm going to go to that door. I'm going to give him the milk. And if you want me to look like a crazy person, okay, I just want to be obedient. And I guess that will count for something. But if they don't answer the door quickly, I'm out of there. So he walks across the street and he rang the doorbell. He could hear some noise inside and a man's voice yelled out, who is it? What do you want? Then the door opened before he could get away, and there was a man standing there in his jeans and t-shirt. He looked like he had just gotten out of bed, and he had a strange look on his face, and he didn't seem too happy to have some stranger standing on his doorstep. The man asked the young man, what is it? The young man thrust out the gallon of milk and said, here, I brought this to you. The man took the milk and ran down his hallway. And then from the hall came a woman carrying the milk toward the kitchen. The man was following her holding a baby, and the baby was crying. But that man who had answered the door had tears streaming down his face. He started to speak to the young man who had brought the milk, and he was half crying, half talking. He said to him, "We were just praying. We had some big bills this month, and we ran out of money, and we didn't have any milk for our baby. I was just praying and asking God to show me how to get some milk." His wife was in the kitchen, and she yelled out, "I asked him to send an angel with some. Are you an angel?" The young man reached into his wallet and he pulled out all the money he had and he just put it in the man's hand and he turned and he walked back to his car, got in that car and sat there with tears just running down his face. And he knew that day that God still answers prayers and God still speaks to his people. Now I share that with you to say to you that God's word, which tells us that his sheep hear his voice, is as real today as it was in the day when Jesus spoke it nearly 2,000 years ago. But what keeps people today from hearing the voice of God? Well, I talked about the first reason, and this is, I think, number one. It is that issue of believing lies. The lie that God doesn't speak to people today, or the lie that God doesn't speak to you, or the lie that God only speaks to special people, or the lie that says if God does try to speak to you, you are not going to be able to hear him, or you won't be able to discern whether it's God or your own mind or the devil or some other thing. But the truth of God's word remains steadfast. John 10:27, my sheep hear his voice. If you have been believing a lie that you can't hear the voice of God or that he doesn't speak today, I want to encourage you. I want to exhort you. I want to, in every possible way, tell you that that is not a truth, that God can't speak or doesn't speak or isn't speaking. That is a lie. And if you have agreed with that lie, the only way to change that is to break off any agreement you've made, knowingly or unknowingly, with any lie about hearing the voice of God. And then choose to believe God's word, that you can hear his voice, and that it's God's will for you to hear his voice, and that he delights to speak to you and he delights to lead you. That is the truth that the Bible bears out from Genesis to Revelation. And today you can remove the number one hindrance simply by saying, Father God, I confess I have been believing a lie. I confess that it's sin to you, that I haven't believed your truth, that your sheep hear your voice. Instead, I've been agreeing with a lie. So I confess agreeing with a lie as sin. And I break off any agreement I've ever made, knowingly or unknowingly, with any lie that contradicts your word. And today, I choose to believe the truth of your word that says, my sheep hear my voice. Lord, I'm one of your sheep. I choose to believe that I can hear your voice and that you want me to hear your voice and that you're looking forward to speaking to me and having me hear your voice. So today, I remove that hindrance to hearing the voice of God. It's a simple thing. The second hindrance to hearing the voice of God is very simply unbelief. Unbelief means that you have a hard time believing what God's word says, even though intellectually you may know that it's written in the Bible, that God said it, that you should believe it, but you have a hard time with your heart about this issue. Many Christians who do believe God speaks to people don't trust themselves to discern accurately when it's God and when it's not. Or when they hear something or they feel prompted, like that young man in the story I told you, they dismiss it as their own thoughts. This is a hindrance. If you struggle in this area, it's a hindrance to hearing God's voice and growing in hearing God's voice. So anytime you have a hindrance, you have to take the truth and apply that truth to it. The truth is, these problems of unbelief, of discernment about when it's God, when it's not, can easily be overcome by developing or training your spirit man to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It takes development. It takes training. One of the number one ways to develop your spirit man is to feed your spirit on the Word of God. That is the number one way. Your spirit is developed when you feed it what is required for it to grow. We know that as little children, it's important that they get food that is nutritious, that has enough vitamins and minerals that will cause the growth of their bones and their skin and every part of their body and all their organ systems. You have to feed them what will cause it to grow. Same with the spirit man. You need to feed your spirit the thing that will cause increase and maturity and growth, and that is the Word of God. You're doing that by listening to my everyday Bible, but I encourage you to do more of it. Read the Word more. Spend time reading the Word before you go to bed and when you get up in the morning. Instead of turning on the television, turn to your Word of God. Feed your spirit man. That will help you become more spiritually sensitive to the voice of God and to the Holy Spirit. Third hindrance that I have observed is what I call the I used to hear God syndrome. Many Christians who have experienced guidance in the past may feel like God hasn't spoken to them in a long time. This might be the result of a couple of things. Number one, having allowed your spiritual life to take second place to other things. And that will cause a dulling of your spiritual sensitivity. Maybe you used to go to church 5 times a week or 3 times a week or be in a Bible study and a church service on Sunday and go to a special worship event or worship night or home group or house church. But now things have crowded in and your spiritual life has taken second place. Maybe you're working on Sundays. Maybe you can't get up in the morning on Sunday. Whatever it is that has allowed you have allowed in your life and that has caused your spiritual life to take second place to other things, whether it's hobbies or work or just life crowding out spiritual focus, that will cause a dulling of spiritual sensitivity, and God may have spoken to you 100 times, but you didn't pick up on it. The second thing that often causes this situation where a Christian has had guidance from God, heard God's voice in the past, but feels like lately hasn't heard a thing, maybe you disobeyed the last instruction the Lord gave you, and further instructions haven't been given by the Lord or heard by you. Both of these situations, which I just described, can be resolved in a moment by repentance, asking God to forgive you, saying, Lord, I confess I've let other things crowd out my focus on developing my spiritual life or listening to your voice. Or secondly, Father God, I confess I disobeyed the last thing you told me to do because I didn't want to do it, or I was afraid to do it, or whatever the reason was. And confess that before the Lord. Say, Lord, I confess that as sin. I ask you to forgive me. And with your help, I will do what you tell me and help me to do it. Give me the grace to do it. And rededicate yourself to pursuing spiritual things, God things, and to hearing and obeying the Lord. And the very last thing I'll bring up as a hindrance to hearing the voice of God is what I call cluttering your hearing. Don't let anything clutter your hearing. A focus on worldly things will clutter your hearing or dam up the river of the Spirit from flowing easily to you and through your spirit man. In 1 John 2:16, the Amplified Bible says this, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself." Worldly things will clutter up your hearing the voice of God. It'll clutter up your spirit man or dam up the river of the Spirit that wants to flow through you and to you. And that verse in 1 John 2 is so clear. Three things that usually clutter up people's hearing: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. One wise person called it pleasures, treasures, and honors. They can totally clutter your hearing of the voice of God. When those become more prominent in your life, pursuing pleasure, pursuing treasure, or pursuing honor, it'll clutter your hearing, and that is never God's will for your life. He wants to speak to you. He wants you to hear His voice. He wants you to be led by His Spirit and guided by Him. The Spirit of God speaking to your spirit is definitely hindered when worldly desires have first place in your life. And if that's been happening, then that's another situation that can be remedied by repentance, by going back to the Lord and say, "God, forgive me. I have allowed worldly things to crowd out your voice to me, to my spirit. I confess that to you as sin. I don't want it. God, give me the desire for you that's greater than my desire for worldly things. I want to be free from that." God will hear that prayer. He desires for you to be free. He desires to have a free flow of communication with you and you to be sensitive to Him. God loves to speak to His people. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." He loves when His sheep hear His voice and follow Him. So I hope that these insights have helped you in getting back to the place that God wants you, and that is hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. God bless you and give you a victorious week.